program you're about to hear all slap pun funnels, is dirty, satire, and comedy. Any reference to Bob, the church of genius, religion, politics, or any other touchy subjects is intended only as humor, and to cast no reflection on the high standards of WREK Atlanta, its staff, or that of Georgia Tech.
This is Blotched
and Blurred
for Dirt and Stars. If you go outside right now and look up about 20 degrees above the northwestern horizon, you'll see a bright light in the heavens.
No, you won't.
This is what we call a celestial conjunction between the Pleiades and Uranus.
No, it isn't.
Shut up. Yes, it
is.
Look,
it's right here on the star chart.
Well, the chart's wrong. The Pleiades are over there.
Huh?
And I know where Uranus is because you got your head stuffed up it.
Oh, look, something's up there in the sky, Miss Werner von Brownnose.
Well, it ain't the freaking Pleiades, you skank.
Oh, I've been taking enough crap off of you.
Oh, yeah.
Ow! You are! Oh, I've been wanting to kill you for so long.
The Arnold Report precipitated an avalanche of sightings from cities, towns, villages, from every section of the country.
Look, there it is.
And it goes without saying, it caused him to empty his bowels.
This is an outrage!
Tell me, young man, what new reports are you getting on unidentified flying objects?
Flying saucers? Oh, they keep coming in every once in a while, but we don't take them too seriously.
Oh, no? Of course not. It must be amusing to a man in your line of work to hear about all these screwball reports. It is my firm opinion that these sightings should be investigated most meticulously. You don't believe that these flying saucers actually exist, do you? And how can you be so certain they don't, Mr. Chuck?
Well, I just don't believe it.
Our minds should be open on all subjects. Wrong conclusions are usually the result of lack of comprehensive analysis.
Of course. Well, thank you, Doctor. I won't take up any more of your time. And I'll let you read the article before I send it in.
Thank you, Mr. Chop. I'll be looking forward to it.
You're clear out of this world. When I'm looking at you, was more enchanted by a Lorelei than I.
Hey! They cut me off! They got my truck!
Oh, Seekers. Welcome back to Bob's Slacktime Funhouse. WREK Atlanta is back online just in time for X Day, as we're calling it. Oh, yes, I know the aliens were supposed to come down last year, but hey, I can't figure out a bank book myself, much less an alien civilization's concept of time. Hell, maybe it's some sort of daylight savings error or something, I don't know. But no matter, Seekers, because I really feel it in my bones this time. Yes,
Yes, this time we shall escape into the stars with our Exus deliverers. Escape into a bright new firmament of joy and rapture and endless, endless slack. Oh, yes, this July 5th I will finally be ensconced in the brain-blistering embrace of Bob. Oh, yes, nestled in the warm lap of our Savior, feeling that unidentified something poking me in the butt. Oh, 'tis a consummation devoutly to be wished, Seekers. Let's wish real hard.
Well, there was something up there in that sky. And if they were not balloons, I don't know what to think.
Oh, just give the Great Unwashed a pair of oversized breasts and a happy ending, and they'll oink for more every time.
Get down there, boy.
There were literally hundreds of cases where Air Defense Command pilots had attempted to intercept UFOs.
Very well. Change course to intercept. Lieutenant to Uhura. Sound yellow alert.
Aye, Captain.
Bridge to engineering.
Engineering, Scott here, Captain.
Scotty, we're heading for a violent energy disturbance of as yet unidentified origins. We may have to do some jumping about. Stand by.
Ready back here, sir.
Good. Bridge out.
Range is still considerable, sir.
Full power on the long-range sensors, Mr. Sulu. Wide screen if possible.
Working on it, sir. We're getting something. What the?
Most remarkable.
What is it?
The intergalactic laxative will get you from here to there. For cosmic constipation, there's none that can compare. If eating is your problem when you're out there in the stars, oh, the intergalactic laxative, the intergalactic laxative, the intergalactic laxative will get you from here to Mars.
I was talking with Mrs. Collins today. She tells me your husband's cousin works with a man who swears he saw a flying saucer.
I thought I told you that term was taboo in this house.
Do you really think they might be from Mars or someplace?
Look, honey, don't you get like the rest of those screwballs that I have in my hair all day.
You too can be a Martian.
Every time some kid flies a kite, 50 different people see spaceships. Come on, let's get to bed.
Maybe about building a palace made out of diamonds miles and miles long. Candy and stuff and all that sort of thing. We dream one. Maybe about taking a spaceship into outer space, land on a moon. Spacesuits and boots and everything that's cool.
They don't partake like you and I of beefy burger mush. Their food is specially prepared to dissolve into slush, absorbed by multi-fibers in the super diaper suit. Otherwise the slush would trickle down inside the boot.
Never walk among the stars, nor glimpse the dark side of the moon. Never fly to distant Mars. I'll never walk among the stars. I'll never float for weight the stars, or see the shining earth arise. If through any springs like ours, I'll never walk among the stars. Those men who venture into spacey things, I'll never see. I'd like to be in their place, though I'll never be. And as they move through the unknown, can't help thinking, though I'm not going, that I'll never be the same since they've gone. Perhaps I'll walk among the stars and glimpse the dark side of the moon. Then I'll fly to distant Mars. Perhaps I'll walk among the stars. Perhaps I'll float for weightless hours and see the shining earth arise. Live through other springs like ours. Perhaps I'll walk among the stars. This town has always been my home. I've never drifted far, much less had a chance to walk among the stars. But Earth still holds a dream I see. There's space inside of me and a galaxy of people yet to know.
distant Mars. Someday I'll walk among the stars. Someday I'll float for weightless hours and see the shining earth arise. Live through other springs like ours.
Amazing.
Unfortunately, I got stuck on the Earth for rather longer than I intended. I came for a week and was stranded for 15 years.
But how did you get there in the first place?
Oh, I got a lift with a teaser.
Teaser?
You know, rich kids with nothing to do. They cruise around looking for planets which haven't made interstellar contact yet and buzz them.
Buzz them?
Yes. They find some isolated spot, then land right by some poor unsuspecting soul whom no one's ever going to believe, and then strut up and down in front of him wearing silly antennae on their heads and making meep meep noises. Rather childish, really.
As an example of the credible type of sightings reported by reputable, trained observers, was the report of Captain Willis Sperry. Statements were taken from all who were present in the tower during the Mantell sighting. The tower controller stated, "It looked silver or metallic." The intelligence officer, "It appeared to be a bright silver object." The executive officer, "It was circular in shape." The AACS, "A small white object in the sky." The operations officer, "It appeared round and white." The commanding officer, "It could be seen plainly with the naked eye." The statements were typed up for the necessary signatures as the interrogation concluded. There was one point on which there was some disagreement.
I hear you've been baking donuts.
Damn you!
Hey, boys will be boys.
Quiet, you awful man.
Look!
Well, there's my ride.
Group of objects in the sky, machine identified. I pulled over to the side of the road, stopped, got out, looked up and saw the objects. There were about 12 of them in a rough formation, proceeding in a westerly direction. They were like nothing I'd ever seen before, although I've logged some 2,000 hours in the air. They were identical in appearance.
How would you describe these objects?
Like two saucers, one inverted over the other. I had no means of judging the altitude. It appeared to me to be about the size of B-29 to 10,000 feet.
So this thing was up there all the time, being observed by various personnel from airfields all over that area?
Correct, and they were seeing it. We checked with our contract astronomer.
Let's go burn down the observatory so this will never happen again.
Yes!
We got a report that you spotted a UFO.
I didn't see any UFO.
That's right, miss. You didn't.
How long have you been in Air Force Intelligence?
2 years.
Ever come across any cases you couldn't solve?
We have unsolved cases, yes. Cases where good solid blips appeared and no known objects in the area. Then, too, we have cases of fantastic speed.
Exactly what do you mean by fantastic speed?
I mean speeds greater than any achieved by man.
How much greater?
Thousands of miles per hour.
Thousands of miles? What's your idea of what they are?
All I can say is unknown. You must remember that I've been restricted to only radar contacts. I have no experience with visual contact.
What do you think about the chances of these objects having intelligence behind their control?
All I can say is I have an open mind.
Why shouldn't the government just own up to the fact that there's something that comes and goes here?
Perhaps the issue is one of control. If they have no control over what's happening, if they can't stop it, why would they want to admit that?
The Air Force interest in this problem has been due to our feeling of an obligation to identify and analyze to the best of our ability anything in the air that may have the possibility of threat or menace to the United States. In pursuit of this obligation, since 1947, we have received and analyzed between 1,000 and 2,000 reports. that have come to us from all kinds of sources. Of this great mass of reports, we have been able adequately to explain the great bulk of them, explain them to our own satisfaction. We've been able to explain them as hoaxes, as erroneously identified friendly aircraft, as meteorological or electronic phenomena, or as light aberrations. However, there have been a certain percentage of this volume of reports that have been made by credible observers of relatively incredible things. It is this group of observations that we now are attempting to resolve. We have, as of date, come to only one firm conclusion with respect to this remaining percentage, and that is that it does not contain any pattern of purpose or of consistency that we can relate with any conceivable threat to the United States. We can say that the recent sightings are in no way connected with any secret development by any agency of the United States.
Well, there are polls that say that young people in their 20s think it's more likely that they will see UFOs than that they will ever collect Social Security.
USA!
And,
why didn't you stop him, Bob?
I did, Ma.
That's
good
the
as I
fella started it.
Well, we can't compete with that, but nothing.
People, space monsters, this is going nowhere. There's only one man who can settle an argument this bizarre.
Yes, I'm aware of Bob is doing some research on this also.
Yes.
And he is documenting the corporate and government connection with this. And he's finding a connection of unmarked helicopters in the Chesapeake Bay area, sometimes doing surveillance on abductees and sometimes being seen in the same sighting as a UFO. Have you also found these kind of phenomena?
Yes, I know Bob.
He's an unidentified flying object. You will see him in the air. He's an unidentified flying object, and you will drop your hands and stare. You will be afraid to tell your neighbors. They might think it is not true. But when you open up the morning papers, you will know they've seen it too. Already paid, he will gather up his followers and take them all away. He's an unidentified flying object, he will sweep down from the sky. He's an unidentified flying object, and some will sleep but will not die. He's an unidentified flying object. He will roll away your stone. And if there's life on other planets, then I'm sure that he must know. And he's been there once already and has died to save their souls. He's an unidentified flying object.
Captain's log, stardate 6134.6. The mysterious time slowdown we're experiencing has affected not only every crew member on board, but all the Enterprise's instruments and computer banks. It's as if time itself were winding down, and us with it.
Sensor readings confirm my hypothesis, Captain. The slowdown phenomena did not initiate until we came within 3 light years of that peculiar high-density energy field directly ahead.
Bob!
Your time has come, you smug bastard! We're all going to die!
Colonel Goddard, chief of the Air Force Photo Reconnaissance Laboratories, reported that 3 of his men flying a B-29 were tracking a weather balloon over Georgia.
Oh, welcome, Seekers.
Suddenly, an unidentified flying object appeared and flew alongside the balloon. After a few moments, the object dived and made a pass at the balloon.
I said, cut it out!
Then proceeded to disappear. When the balloon was recovered, it had a 6-foot rent in it. Colonel Goddard's men believed this unidentified flying object made the tear in the balloon. Goddard vouched for his men making the report, stating that they were highly experienced and reliable Air Force personnel.
The reason that we liked to occasionally do a hoax was for our own amusement, but if there were a serious purpose, more to keep the UFO field alive during slack periods, hoping that the public's interest, or at least the UFO fans' interest, would not slack off. And since I at least felt that there was a serious mystery behind all this, and I didn't want to see the field die out, and I thought it was a good idea to keep it rolling.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Out of the shadows I see him at night. Jet black hair and skin so white. Down by the river where nobody goes. Watching how the jellyfish blows. I'm not from here, I'm from space. I don't belong in this place. When I have reached my 16th year, a vessel will take me out of here. To the house with dogs living there. Mounds of dog hair cover the stairs. Mother hides in a room with no light. Her hair jet black, her skin so white. I'm not from here, I'm from space. I don't belong in this place. When I have reached my 16th year, a vessel will take me out of here. In a room painted black, picked up a guitar and let it beat back. Learned all his favorite leads by heart. Did never hear the rest of the parts. I'm not from here, I'm from space. I don't belong in this place. and I have reached my 16th year. A vessel will take me out of here.
Greetings, friends. I am Uriel, and we are Unarius and preparing the Earth people for the great space fleet landing, the starship landing.
Excellent.
Now the fun begins.
The lunar dust of Talon's moon drifted up in a small eddy, disturbed by the vortex of transporter energy which swirled above it. Seconds later, the dust of that moon was marked by Kirk's footsteps. Kirk peered through the faceplate of his environmental suit at what waited for him on the brightly lit lunar landscape. Three more columns of sparkling light appeared. Spock, McCoy, and Uhura. Kirk heard Uhura gasp in astonishment. Spock immediately held up a vacuum-armored tricorder. Fascinating. McCoy checked his own scanners in disbelief. Then his voice crackled over the helmet speaker. On the barren rocks and soil of Talon's moon, beneath the blazing radiation of unfiltered sunlight and completely exposed to the hard vacuum of space, there was life. Kirk moved forward with long, low-gravity strides to meet it. What he approached was obviously a base of sorts. About 20 of the sleek, pinch-waisted shuttles were hidden in the shadows of a rocky overhang. The shuttles were stacked on top of each other like a pile of kindling. The overhang had protected them from direct overhead observation by the Talon and the FCO, though Kirk couldn't understand why the rest of the base had not been detected by the FCO's long-range scans, nor had any scan detected the aliens. And there were hundreds of them. The aliens' black and silver segmented bodies reminded Kirk of meter-long wasps, but they moved across the lunar soil like spiders on eight spindly silver legs. Cautiously, Kirk and the rest of the landing party edged closer to the creatures as they swarmed around their shuttles and massed near several large silver and black domes that were scattered on the rocky surface. Uhura motioned toward the aliens. Are they machines? Kirk saw the communications specialist working with a large flat computer board with controls enlarged for use by personnel in protective gear. Kirk was fascinated by the aliens' thin legs. They seemed to be made of solid metal.
Are they some kind of artificial construct, Spock? Organics built into a mechanical shell? I see no indication of anything artificial in their structure, Captain. I believe that these are living creatures, either genetically engineered or independently evolved to consume radiation and live in hard vacuum.
Sir, it was Uhura.
I am picking up a great deal of low-level radio static, and it seems to be coming from these things. Uhura, is there any chance that the creatures are communicating by radio transmissions?
Why not?
I'll try to link up with one.
Uhura approached two of the creatures who were stroking a small silverish bubble that appeared to have sprouted from the ground. Kirk leaned down to get a better look at the creatures.
Spock, any idea what those bubbles are or what they're made from?
The domes are composed of the same substances as the alien creatures and their shuttles.
Spock glanced down at his tricorder.
Captain,
I believe that we must be looking at different versions of the same life form, or at the very least, different species who share the same evolutionary past.
Are you saying the shuttles and the domes are also alive?
Spock pointed his tricorder in the direction of one of the large black and silver bubble domes. It was nearly 5 meters across.
Essentially, yes. Odd.
Spock continued to read from his tricorder.
There also appears to be a pressurized atmosphere inside this dome. Well insulated, and with a quantity of liquid. Water.
You!
You may well ask now what becomes of liquid they consume. A pipe is led from penis head to a unit in the room. The water is recirculated, filtered for reuse. In case of anti-gravity, pee gets on the loose.
That's a relief. Let's get out of here, guys!
Yeah, let's go!
Oh!
Yeah, I hate getting wet.
I wonder which button to press now.
I don't know, but here goes.
Why another button, Billy? The water's getting deep out there.
Yeah, I think we're starting to float. Good to hit the right one this time. I hope so.
Click.
Over 10 years ago, extraterrestrial light beings of incredible love imparted a supreme gift to a woman in Houston, Texas. They gave her the process for a transformational water to unfold higher spiritual awareness, create greater mental and emotional balance, and cleanse the cells in the body. Here is Fantasia, the gift from the stars. Drink a concentrated 4-ounce bottle one time. The transformation continues throughout your life. The light within grows brighter. Harmony expands from inner to outer. Cells begin to return to their perfect genetic structure. Research on a woman with radiation sickness shows all bodily functions return to normal. Others have reported equally dramatic benefits in all aspects of health. Listen within and understand Fantasia. Give this universal substance for creating well-being to your whole family. Fantasia, just $79.95 for each lifetime dose. Order now.
The commercial aspects of the saucer situation were not overlooked. Alert businessmen and manufacturers came up with all sorts of oddities. The practical joker moved in. Homemade saucers of all kinds and descriptions began to turn up promiscuously. Within a few months of the original saucer report, practically everyone in America was conscious of flying saucers.
This man in the saucer, can you describe him?
Well, sir, he was small and skinny. His head was pointed, came to a very sharp point. He had long green hair. His eyes were a sort of purplish red. He had large ears which were formed like an antenna. His teeth were perfect, but spread far apart. And I noticed, too, a jacket of some sort of spun glass and bright red metallic hues.
Well, friends, that just shows how much they trusted Bob. They didn't trust Bob Dobbs. Didn't trust him $20 worth.
$35.
Okay, fine. Fine, no skin off our teeth. Pay lip service. Wear that Bob T-shirt. Be real hip. But when those saucers come... Well, you're either on the bus or you're off the bus, as those great proto-sub-genii used to say. And the dumbest nerd could get on the bus for $20.
35.
Well, actually, those $20 don't count.
35.
Their souls go into the cylinders that we trade for. But they should be proud that their souls, such as they are, at least made it possible for their betters to ride the escape vessels of the sex goddesses.
Well, Mr. Stang, it was an almost foolproof plan.
Hey, have you been working on anything that would make sense of what happened here, man?
Certainly, Mr. Scott.
Well, did you find anything?
I believe I said I am working on it, Mr. Scott.
Any chance of coming up with something in the next 30 minutes?
35.
Spock's answer took Scott by surprise.
What? You mean that? You'll have the answer that quickly?
From the
center of the land, another transporter chime sounded. It was louder than before. Multiple beams coming in.
As I said earlier, Spock continued, I have been waiting for the others to arrive.
The more lurid sections of the press reported that fragments of Mantell's plane were found to be radioactive. Some news sources reported that an autopsy revealed that Mantell had been killed by some kind of death ray unknown to our men of science. These reports were false. Because certain publications persisted in using a sensational approach in reporting sightings, there were increasing demands from the public for an explanation. However, the Air Force had already taken official cognizance of the flying discs. Headquarters, United States Air Forces, issued a directive.
UFO is a bucket of
Whether or not you believe in spacecraft, whether you are aware and conscious of the many, many thousands of higher intelligent super beings that are projecting their love and their light and their intelligence to the Earth world, whether you're aware of these so-called psychic happenings, do above all things believe and be aware that we brothers all, one and all, and we number in the many thousands, we are projecting to you with all of our hearts the infinite love that stems from the most high dimensions.
Once he realized that my mind was made up, he made another suggestion. It was due to this casual suggestion that I walked right into the middle of the flying saucer story.
What's new on this saucer story, Al?
We have nothing on it. Project Sign is closed. ATIC is no longer investigating these things.
How stupid can they get? How can they drop an investigation when there are things going on like this Sioux City incident?
Look, George, I don't make policy around here. I've got a job, and I take my order just like everybody else.
They insisted I make another call for verification with ATIC. I indicated to one of the reporters to pick up the extension and listen in.
Thank you. made of chrome. You may consume giant tube worms and call sulfur pool your home. You may live on a red planet with 12 beautiful moons. You may eat with tentacles instead of with spoons. We have a lot in common, though it seems so long ago. We were once organic dust motes floating through space together in the cold. We are part of the same galactic living family. You may be microscopic and live with billions of your peers. You may be gigantic and have elephant-sized ears. Your head may be all nose, and you see not a bit. You may tell stories by the odors you emit. We are stardust. We are amino acid life forms. Out of an interstellar dust cloud we were born. We are part of the galactic living family. We are part of the same galactic living family.
Could these saucers be some kind of a secret weapon of ours?
No. If they were, Air Materiel Command would be the first to know.
How about a device from a foreign country?
We know they're not.
Not anymore.
What is your opinion, Colonel?
I don't have any opinion, Al.
Line 3. Colonel Goddard's on the phone. He's got a hot UFO report. I want you to listen in on it.
Okay, Colonel, shoot.
Tree.
state intelligence officers on investigations. I witnessed the difficulty in breaking down and gaining the confidence of those who were reluctant to talk about their experiences for fear of personal ridicule and embarrassment. Others were cooperative. I observed the technique of thorough interrogation used by Blue Book's analysis and investigative staff. In almost every case, I heard the same words used to describe the sighting. These words were...
There I was, having a great time in the backyard, when without warning, I was abducted by aliens.
Warning! Warning! Prepare to be abducted! Congratulations! You have been selected for our cross-breeding program.
To put you at ease, we have recreated the most common spawning locations of your species. You may choose either the backseat of a Camaro, an airplane bathroom, a friend's wedding, or the alley behind a porno theater.
I absolutely refuse to go along with this. But since I have no choice, I'll take the alley.
Oh. Hey, where am I?
Oh, for crying out loud.
What are you implying? Look like the alley behind the church we're at this week. Wow! Look at that weird thing. Looks like some sort of machine or something. Maybe it's a spaceship. Wait till I tell the rest of the guys. And Rosie! Ow! Hurry up!
What's all the hurry, BB?
Okay.
Meanwhile...
Initiate fertilization procedure.
Oh, you look lovely this evening. Have you decreased in mass?
I tried to resist, but they applied powerful mind confusion techniques.
Look behind you. Insemination complete.
Really? That seemed awfully quick.
What are you implying?
Nothing.
Whoa, look at the time. I'd love to stay, but I have an early meeting tomorrow. You're a super girl, though. I'll call you sometime.
No.
Hey, wait.
It's like, I don't believe it.
Yeah. I wonder why they're doing what they're doing.
I don't know what they're up to. Why do they keep trying to experiment on people? What are they trying to do? Are they trying to help us? Are they trying to hurt us? Are they trying to get themselves better? Are they sick?
All I remember is being told at one time that they needed the what they were taking for them to survive.
Did they ever tell you what they were taking? That they needed to survive? Or just the things?
Well, just, you know, the eggs and stuff.
Yeah.
That their species needed it to survive.
Did they ever tell you what they did with them after they took them? Or?
There's a colony.
Colony?
That I've seen, that I was shown one time.
Are they all go? Where the eggs go?
I'm not sure whether they all go, but I was told that's where the children are.
The colony? Would that be in space, or would it be on this earth, or what?
It's out way up somewhere.
Because I wonder if every person that they take the eggs out of, it can make a baby out of.
They showed me a baby and they said it's a mother.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to feed them. They brought this bowl of the smelliest, stinkiest brown goo. And I had to rub it on them. On their
all over the body?
Yeah. Around the stomach and on the back. They absorbed it. And I did that, and after I did that, they had to shine a light on it. You know, it just kind of absorbed into the skin.
That was the way they were eating it.
Mm-hmm.
Kirk watched as the busy alien near Uhura finished ripping apart its victim. He wondered what was going on in the creature's mind. According to Uhura, there was a way to find out. He moved closer to the alien, who had been disturbed by McCoy's shadow.
Uhura, can you link my helmet communicator to this one right here?
Uhura brought her board over.
Hi, sir. Setting the frequencies now. Go ahead.
Kirk moved to cast his shadow on the creature. The translator circuits came to life instantly.
Strange, life, block, food, over here, over here. Strange, life, block, food.
Kirk spoke.
Would you like the food to continue? Yes, food, eat.
Uhura's link worked both ways. Kirk stepped aside. Then, after a few moments, he blocked the sun once more. The creature went into its recitation.
I remember rubbing it on him and feeling the pleasure of the baby thing. You know, it was like, oh, you really...
Were these babies human types, or were they... Were they human in appearance, or were they...
No, they were kind of a mix.
Of what?
Like the hybrid mix.
Yeah, if you could, like, how we're set up with digestive and all this trash, and you could, like, take... Well, they're part of absorption factor, and then our part of maybe emotional or whatever, you know what I mean? Split, just take the DNA and go, and take what you want, and put theirs in... Like that.
Yeah.
Or if that's what they're doing. And then it also makes me wonder if they're taking all our stuff and screwing us up and then making us sterile.
Yeah, that's right.
Because it's awful funny that a lot of women, that after they have this program go on, then they gotta have hysterectomies and all this trash and with the estrogen and all that.
Did you ever ask them how they thought it was, for them, if it was right for them to come down and just take the parts that they needed and stuff?
I protested.
Give me back my belly fruit!
Then it was just, it's necessary.
Just necessary. So what they're going to do, what they want to do regardless of what we think. Yeah. It don't matter whether we want them to or not, they're going to do it anyway. More or less.
In other words, we have no say.
You got no choice.
It's necessary. Mm-hmm. But what gives them the right?
You can't stop them. Exactly.
Yeah, but what gives them the right to do something like this?
Well, the feeling I've got from them is like, you know, we don't like it, but
there ain't nothing we can do about it.
As far as they're concerned,
we don't matter.
It's the survival of them, of
their race.
Yeah.
Is more important.
Is more important.
And how?
At this point, the crucial issue appears to be whether or not...
A trick! I see through you now. There is no such thing as a United Federation of Planets. It was a low ploy of you, blasphemer, to attempt to fool me into assuming a weaker tactical position.
You are quick, evil monster! Did you truly think to trick me, with such a feeble lie? This United Federation, this tiny fabrication masquerading as an inhabited ship, is but a decoy, manufactured in your own perverted factories. You will pay for that. Die, social misfit!
I shall extinguish your noisomeness, Imperial vileness.
What is your own sense now of the role that these reptilian lizard people are playing in all of this versus these grays with the big black eyes?
At first, when a different kind of pupil came up, it came up with, well, what people are calling hybrids. For example, in these two children, which are part human and part other world, you can see they have a similar vertical pupil.
And this was described by the abductee as being hybrids, half human and half something else.
It was a very emotional experience.
You intergalactic hussy! How could you?
Was he better than me?
Mom.
What's your own personal opinion right now on what the hybrid story is? Is it real? Is it something we don't understand?
It's a difficult story to completely understand, although it's very clear that they are taking samples of eggs and sperm, and they are doing something with them, and they are producing odd-looking babies which do look half like humans and half like them. And the detail there is strikingly similar, with the thin hair and their large eyes, but very frail-looking bodies.
It's like looking in a mirror.
What's the mirror?
That's the big city word for reversifying glass.
Ah.
Captain, we have passed out of phaser range. Shall I arm the photon torpedoes? If it can withstand the Big Bang, Mr. Chekhov, I don't think there's much we'd be able to do to it.
But Spock disagreed. It could not have survived the beginning of our universe in that form. As it exists now, it is vulnerable to our weapons.
USA! USA!
Now, as there's no more curiosity about this bizarre cover-up, huh?
Greens, friends, as Uriel would say.
Say what? That's what I said. What is that supposed to mean?
So there you have it, Seekers. A coming global, nay, cosmic apocalypse. And you have just enough time to write for free information on how to grease your took us out of the squisher just in time to board the escape vessels of the sex goddesses from Planet X. Are you lucky or what? Well, you won't be lucky this July 5th when X-Day roars in if you haven't made your peace with Bob. A good way is to tear off a piece of yourself. Your wallet's a darn good start. And slip that sucker into an envelope and send it to Bob at P.O. Box 181417, Cleveland Heights, Ohio 44118. To get details on how to get that fool's golden certificate that'll get you out of total incineration for triple your money back. Oh, what more reason do you need to finally break down and write? Hey, even I would. Oh, and tonight, we had some wonderful helping hands in the mix. Oh, what did we have? We had Steve Lawrence singing Out of This World, a beautiful subgenius hymn. There are so many of them when you get down to it. Oh, and a couple of big chunks of the Tinklers, my favorite living room band, with two songs. Randy, that one, I'm not from here, I'm from space. Oh, how I love that song this time of year. And Galactic Living Family. Oh, yes. And there was a little Donovan with intergalactic laxative in there. I've always wanted an excuse to play that one. And then Space Race was by M.I. Sex. And then there was some 60s-era psychedelia in there by a short live concept band called The Griffin. Oh, Crazy Hillbilly Abductees from... oh, something I taped so long ago, I don't even remember where I got it. And tonight, we're going to wrap it up with a little John Fogerty with a beautiful song called Sail Away. And here's hoping we'll all be sailing away on the cosmic breezes to a bright new subgenius tomorrow. Oh, Seekers, I can taste the slack already. Good night.
Milk, milk, milk. What is the meat?
And if they were not balloons, I don't know what to think.
Yeah, yeah.
be an open door. The passageway is lit, and it's time to get on board. What wonders we will see, what beauty to my eyes. So come along with me across a rainbow sky.
WREK Atlanta. Stay sick. Turn blue.
Time for Verbal Tea with Amy Levine Gonzalez.
Today, we'll discuss a dying form of Peruvian banjo music with Dartmouth banjologist Stefan Whitmore.
It's just, it's not that good.
This show ain't no good.